conservatives and the Republicans, means you have four ballot lines, but only two candidates. And that's really not much of a choice. We should have a multi-party democracy. So the average voter already wants that. And then activists, particularly progressive activists, I mean, how are they going to vote for the New York Health Act, for a state-level Medicare for All plan? It's very popular. The Democrats said if they got control of the Senate, they would pass it. They did that in 2018. And since then, it hasn't even got out of committee. Or for public renewables, having the New York Power Authority have the authority to build renewable energy generation so we can accelerate our move toward clean energy and address the climate crisis. I mean, these are progressive alternatives that you can't vote for if the Green Party's not on the ballot. So progressive activists should certainly be concerned about this, because otherwise they're going to have a choice between a corporate centrist at best, Kathy Hochul, the Democrat, and a Trump-loving extremist, Lee Zeldin, for the Republicans. You know, where are progressives? They don't have an option on the ballot. So they should be concerned about this.
Now, where does your candidacy, go from here, particularly the Democrats? You know, the reality is with requiring 45,000 signatures in 42 days, it's pretty impossible for anybody to actually get that, especially with all the restrictions and technicalities that one has to meet. So, what does the Green Party, what does Howie Hawkins do at this point?
Well, I think we push this bill. You know, the 42-day deadline or period in which you can petition is pretty unique. I mean, most states, if they do have a limit on when you can start, it's many months or even years before the petition is due. Most states have no limits. So they have a petition signature requirement, but you basically, have a lot of time to get it. Here, we got a frantic 42-day chase, which is a real problem. Where we go from here is we keep pushing that ballot. And, if we are successfully knocked off the ballot, we're talking about running a write-in campaign that will feature these democracy issues, not just ballot access, but the other things that will create a multi-party democracy: ranked choice voting for the statewide offices and proportional ranked choice voting, so we get proportional representation in the state legislature. So that's ranked choice voting in multi-member districts. We have a democracy crisis. We know the Republicans are attacking voting rights, and they're setting it up so they can steal elections by getting control of the election administration in about 20 of the states. But in states like New York, as well as Nevada, Arkansas, some other states, the Democrats are suppressing the vote by suppressing the Green Party. And we know that most Green Party voters wouldn't vote if we're not on the ballot. We know from the 2015 presidential election exit poll that 61% of Jill Stein's voters would have stayed home if she wasn't on the ballot. So, the Democrats get all self-righteous about what the Republicans are doing, but they're doing it themselves in a different way.
Now, we have about 90 seconds left. You mentioned, the Democrats didn't deal with New York Health, didn't deal with public power, but how would you rate the recently concluded, legislative sessions on issues that you and the Green Party are raising in 1 minute?
Pretty low. I mean, there was a dozen climate bills, a couple of them the least consequential passed. New York Health Act, healthcare, housing issues. There was a good cause eviction legislation that didn't pass. Not even on the radar is something we want, is an expansion of public housing and have a state authority, because the federal government limits the amount of public housing so that everybody has an affordable housing option. Criminal justice reform, reform for immigrants. There was a whole slew of progressive legislation, and the Democrats have a supermajority in both chambers of the legislature, but they didn't get it done. And, I said they couldn't get it done. The fact is they chose not to get it done, and that's a problem.
So Howie Hawkins, Green Party nominee for governor, you got a website?
Yeah, our campaign website is www.hawkinsmatera, one word, .org. And Matera is spelled M-A-T-T-E-R-A.
Thank you very much, Howie Hawkins. And this has been Mark Dunlay for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Hudson Catskill.
Tune in Monday, June 13th to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at 90.7 FM. Including at 9 a.m., we hear from Yvette Janine Jackson, the artist who has a new installation at Wave Farm in Acra. At 10 a.m., it's time for Jump on the Afrosonic Taxi with tracks this week from Ose Tuda, Femi Kuti, and Deli Sosimi, among others. And the Pixies are the featured artist on Brendan Donegan's Playing Favorites show at 11 a.m., broadcast live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street. After the local news at noon, it's time for the Deep Three show this week with tracks from Jackie Apple, Arturo Sandoval, and Florian Hoffner, among others. Vital Weekly at 2 p.m. features brand new music from around the world. This week, Carl Stone, Bruno Duplant, and Karina Bargi are among the artists featured. 4 p.m., we're live from Housatonic in Western Massachusetts with Kieran Riley and the WGXC Afternoon Show. The Law and Disorder Show is on at 7 p.m., and then it's time for Bontanut's Radio with Doja Cat, Yemi Alidi, Kwesi Arthur at 8 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar, and WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXZ 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I am also from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Jada, and I live near Hudson.
I'm Fatia, and I also live in Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate,
and
other things.
And that's what we're going to do today. We have a full house today of Bound by Books co-hosts. It's very exciting. So why don't we start with Jada? We haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. What have you been reading?
So I recently, yesterday, wow, it seems like forever ago, I got this really cool new book. It's the first of a series. It's called Eric Rex, The Dragon's Eye. It's very Harry Potter-esque. I forgot who the author was because I think I left the book in the car. And it's just, wow, is all I can say. I can't even give a proper description because all that I can say is that he has five other adopted siblings. He's also adopted and is a single mother. Imagine having to parent six adopted kids. Oh, and he has a glass eye, which is very important.
Do they have magical powers?
Him and his new friend Bethany discover a magical underground land, and Earth where we live is called Upper Earth. Apparently, in the book, someone rid Upper Earth of all the memories of magic, except for the few people that go up to Upper Earth from below Earth. And there are three places, separate places, that I completely forgot what their names are. It doesn't really matter. And the main character, Eric, changed his name to Rick, and because his mother says that he doesn't want him to get discovered for some strange reason. I think I mentioned that he was born there. I think I did. Anyway, he was born there in that land, and he has his mom's seeing eyeglasses, which means that he can see his mom even though he's not there. He's captured in a dungeon in one of the three rulers' dungeon, King Pluto, and yes, that's his name. Wow, there's a lot of details. And they end up learning more about magic, and I won't tell what happens in the ending. And why do I feel like there's something that I left out of the description? Anyway, you should totally read the book. It's a series, and I'm looking for the second one.
Very cool. It's fun discovering a new series. I actually found a new author that I'm excited about. I mean, they're not a new author. They're just new to me. I finally read something by them. Which is, for me, it's a similar kind of excitement where I'm like, oh, I found this author that I've never read before and their writing is so great and I want to read more and more and more. And it's nice when they have more and more to read. So I recently read Luck of the Titanic by Stacy Lee. It's a book for teens. I think it would be appropriate for middle grade readers too. There wasn't anything too risque in there. And I think the writing is accessible. I also listened to the audiobook recording, which was very good. But it's about a young woman named Valora Luck, who is a circus performer. And she and her twin are both circus performers. And the story starts off where she has a ticket to go on the Titanic to make the trip to the United States. But she gets stopped before boarding because of the Chinese Exclusion Act, and she's a British Chinese citizen. And so she is not going to be able to go into the United States because they are excluding Chinese people from entering the United States. And so they won't let her on the boat for that reason. But luckily, she is a circus performer and has lots of skills and manages to find her way on board and is a stowaway on the Titanic. And her goal on the Titanic is to find her brother, who is on the boat for a different reason. He is going for a job. I believe it was in Cuba, that he's heading to Cuba to do some work. And she wants to get him and convince him to continue performing with her. And there's an influential person from a circus on board as well. And so she wants to find him, convince him to continue performing, and then convince this influential circus mogul to hire them and help them get into America to perform in the circus. And of course, this is the Titanic, so most of us know what happens with the Titanic. And so most of the story is taking place on the ship while the ship is intact. But then, of course, the ship hits an iceberg. And so there's also this sort of excitement or drama around that and suspense around whether or not the characters that we've come to appreciate and care for in the story are going to make it or not.
This sounds like a happy ending kind of story.
The Titanic?
No, not that. The story itself, not the Titanic. I mean, that's definitely not a happy ending, but...
Well, I guess you'll have to read it to find out whether or not it's a happy ending.
I'm looking
ending.
It up right now. What did you say the title was?
Luck of the Titanic by Stacey
Lee. Looking it up right now. Ha ha.
And her last name is Luck, so that's why it's Luck of the Titanic. But it's interesting because the beginning of the book says something, it's like in a note before the story starts, says something about how there were 8 British Chinese citizens on board the Titanic and 6 of them survived. And so in the story, you meet some of the British Chinese citizens on board and you have to wonder who's going to make it and who isn't. So that adds to the suspense at the end as people are or are not getting aboard lifeboats. But it's a very good book. Stacey Lee writes a lot of historical fiction, and I've heard about her books for years and wanted to read them and just never got around to it. So I'm glad I finally did, and I can't wait to read more. Does anyone else have a book they want to talk about? Or a poem they want to share? Or something bookish to talk about?
Me?
Sure.
Me?
Me. Georgia.
So, I'm going to talk about a book that I just started reading a little before the show. It is called Measure Up, and it's by Lily Lamotte, I think. And it's really good. It's about this girl. She's from Taiwan, and her family moves her to Seattle, and she really doesn't want to move. And then she makes a few friends there, but she gets teased. And her amazing grandmother, none of them can afford to buy her a plane ticket. So she enters this cooking contest, and the cash prize is $1,000, except she has to be paired with this really mean girl who won't make any Taiwanese food and who's very mean to her. And so, yeah, that's what I know so far, because let me see if there is a description. It doesn't seem like there is. Wait, let me look. Oh, there we go. What you've got simply isn't enough. 12-year-old Cece has just moved from Taiwan to Seattle, and the only thing she wants more than to fit in our new school is to celebrate her grandmother, Amma's 70th birthday together. Cece cooks up a plan to bring Amma to her by winning the grand prize in a kids' cooking contest to pay for Amma's plane ticket. There's just one problem. Cece only knows how to cook Taiwanese food, and after a pickled cucumber debacle at lunch, she's determined to channel her inner Julia child. Can Cece find a winning recipe to reunite with Amma, away of him with her new friends, and somehow find herself too? So that was Measuring Up by Lily Lamotte.
And so far, so good.
I want to read it now.
It's pretty good so far. And it's a middle grade graphic novel.
Yeah, I've seen that one on the shelves before, and I haven't ever heard from someone who's read it. So I'm curious to hear your review when you're done. Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks. Yeah, it's really good.
How about Amelia? Do you have something to share?
I am still eventually going to read Lifeboat 12, that poetry book I was telling you about earlier. Mm-hmm. But I have been busy with school and doing the readings that they have sent me to do. I'm still in lit theory, which is nice. So I get to read a lot of interesting works and try to look at them from different perspectives. This year was feminist theory, and this week was feminist theory. And that was very interesting because I got to read a portion of a play called Doll's House by, give me one second, by Henrik Ibsen from a feminist perspective. Unfortunately, they only assigned us the third act. So I'm missing a massive chunk of the story and I only have the ending, which is very interesting. But eventually, when I have the time, I'd like to go back and read the PDF in full to find out the entire story.
That's interesting, only having the end.
Yeah, it's very interesting that they only assigned us the end portion. It was actually kind of weird.
It could be an interesting assignment to like have to imagine, like write the beginning portion.
That would be a really interesting creative writing like assignment or something. Mm-hmm.
Like, this is all you get. Create. Like, what if you just got the middle and you had to create the beginning and the end?
That would be so interesting. Those would be such cool writing exercises. I wish we did something more like that in our fiction writing class, but no.
Sounds fun.
Speaking of writing books, I'm working on the third book in a series that I hope to drag out, and I will not let my characters die in the books, and so they'll probably go on to be like 1,000 if I keep on writing the book series. Because right now they jumped from 14 to 16 to 40, so I am determined to also write some like stories about like what happens in between then, but I really feel like this is going to be the third book, and then I'm going to write other ones. I still can't believe that I completed 2 books.
Yeah, I can't remember. Is this the series you've shared on the show before?
No.
Okay. I remember you talking about other books you were writing before. What's your series like? What's the genre or the...
Imagine this. Royalty equals plus spy equals my book. I always love that idea of royalty undercover.
Royalty undercover.
I just really like that idea. And then there's this huge headquarters. Like, the main headquarters is where it usually takes place, although there are other branches, like the Canada branch. Even though there might not be any royals in Canada, I don't really know. And it's not the main focus of my story, so.
You ever going to publish them?
I plan to, but I have to start with the first book and then wait at least a month and then publish the next one. Cool. Because I don't think publishing all of them at once would be good. I want to publish one and then wait for the success rate.
That makes sense. Make them wait a little bit. Plus, then you can avoid too many spoilers if somebody reads ahead in the series. Give people a chance to catch up.
And what I actually hope, my biggest success won't be like getting any mentions in newspapers, but I want to see the amount of fan fiction that gets written. I'm even thinking of writing fan fiction for my own stories. I'm like, maybe I should have done this. Let's see how it works out. Frantically types, horrible. Why did I even think of that idea?
I love the idea of writing fan fiction for your own work. It's hilarious. I wonder
if J.K. Rowling's ever thought of doing that for Harry Potter.
I've always loved the idea of like publishing work and then like immediately looking for a fan fiction of it, mostly because I feel like that'd be so surreal, but also I'd just be so curious about what other people write and think about my own characters that I wouldn't be able to resist going online and being like, all right, what's everyone doing? What's everyone thinking?
Yeah, and the other thing about that is I could be like, maybe I can like do a whole series of books about that, like in an alternate universe. But what I would absolutely hate is for people to completely mess up my characters. There's been some Encanto fan fiction, then they just completely ruin it. And I'm like, how dare you? You don't deserve to write one word.
Yeah, it's a weird environment. I know that like there's websites that exist both for fan fiction and for original works, and it's interesting to go on a site that doesn't really have any quality control. It's basically for people to go on and do whatever they want and just kind of vibe. And in a way it's kind of fun because you can go back, say you make an account like that when you're like 13 and you write something that you think is great back then, and then you get older and you're writing more professionally now, you could go back to that site and look at what you made, and you could be humiliated, but it's a great way to remind yourself of the fact that you're still like growing. And that goes for like any work, I think, not just writing, like art, anything. I look back at my old sketchbooks and I'm horrified by how I drew and how terrible my anatomy was and all of that. But then I look at what I draw now and I'm like, my God, I've gotten so much better. I've improved so much. And it helps me be more confident in what I can do now.
Same thing happened when I found this book that I wrote from like first, yeah, I think it was first grade. It had like so many spelling mistakes, and it would. I laugh now, but then I had to hide it, and I'm seriously considering burning it so that Mom won't find it again.
You shouldn't do that. My mom sometimes pulls out my old schoolwork from like third grade and fourth grade, and she's like, no, why are you showing me this? This is all so bad. Why did I spell a word that way? Or, yeah.
What if I literally wrote like the same word three times, and I'm like, yeah. And the funny thing is, that's how we, and then there was another thing where I spelled a word wrong. The teachers, I'm like, how did the teachers let this go by? And that's how everyone thought it was spelled. Like, seriously? Are you kidding me? And again, I am in sixth grade, and so that was like years and years and years ago. So.
Before we run out of time, I want to make sure we hear from Fatia. We haven't heard from Fatia yet.
I have a poem to share. It's called Fragments. There's like in this website, there's like about 200 poems. A lot. I want to touch you with my heart, wanting to give you screening, become a starlight. You will be flooded by my heart's starlight. Let the slit in your heart flowers bloom there. Give me your heart's sense, waiting to be fulfilled in that fragrancy. The reason why I like this poem is because it has like, there's this poem is just amazing because it just like blew my mind off. So I really like this poem, and yeah.
What was it called again?
It was like called I don't really know how to pronounce it, but it's a long name, but it's like Fragrance. Long name.
Oh, fragrances or something?
I think it is fragrance or something. I don't know.
That was a very nice poem. Well, thank you for sharing your poem, Fatia. And thank you, everybody else, for sharing your current reads or recent reads in some cases. Does anyone have anything coming up that they're especially excited for? Either a book or a bookish thing or otherwise? Fatia, what are you excited for?
I'm excited like for Friday because at school we're gonna have like a tidy shirt or something. We're gonna put them in a paint, and like it's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah, tie-dye is a lot of fun. Maybe you can show us your shirt next week. Our radio listeners can't see it, but we can. How about Georgia? What are you excited about or for?
Well, today was field day at my school, which was super fun. I got super wet and I didn't bring a change of clothes or a swimsuit, so that was fun. And I met a new friend who's in eighth grade. And